Hey everyone, I'm Thanos Davelis, and welcome back to The Greek Current, a podcast by the Hellenic American Leadership Council and Kathy Merini, where we highlight the top stories of the day every afternoon with analysis from guest experts, policymakers, journalists, and HELC staff. Is there a new momentum for the return of the Parthenon marbles to Greece? That's what Janet Sussman, the chair of the British Committee for the Reunification of the Parthenon Marbles, argued in her latest op-ed for Kathy Merini. Her piece came after Greek Prime Minister Kyriakos Mitsotakis visited the United Kingdom, where he raised the issue of the Parthenon marbles in his meeting with Prime Minister Boris Johnson. Despite Johnson's refusal to negotiate the issue, Greece has vowed to use every means in its quest to persuade London to relinquish the Parthenon sculptures, with a campaign that will focus on winning over the hearts and minds of Britons. Janet Sussman joins us on The Greek Current to talk about Prime Minister Mitsotakis' visit to the UK and the momentum it has given the campaign for the return of the Parthenon marbles. Janet, welcome on to the Greek Current podcast. It's great to have you with us.
Thank you so much. I'm pleased to be here.
Janet, Prime Minister Mitsotakis recently visited the United Kingdom, where his call for the return of the Parthenon marbles and his overall visit received extensive coverage. You know, was this surprising at all for you?
Yes, it came as a great and pleasant shock, I have to tell you, because one never knows what to expect. Various people have floated in and out of this country saying they think the marbles ought to be returned. And sometimes it's a culture minister, or sometimes it's somebody else. But they didn't quite hit the spot that Mitsotakis did because of his position at the top of the tree. So that was very nice. And suddenly the British newspapers woke up. And I saw, to my astonishment, one fine day, that two very right-wing newspapers, the Daily Mail and the Daily Telegraph, gave a huge amount of coverage to his visit and to what he was saying about it's time that our marbles came back to us. So I think a sort of tremor ran through the sort of giving back establishment. And I'm not a scholar at all, but I'm determined that everybody should wake up to this unfairness that they've been sitting in London for 200 years in a horrible grey room in the British Museum, and it's time they went back. So when this handsome fellow rode into view on his white charger, we were all, you know, pretty pleased about that.
During their meeting, Prime Minister Boris Johnson told Mitsotakis that the issue of the Parthenon marbles is not a governmental issue, but one for the British Museum to attend to. You're right that this is a good sign, albeit a tiny one. Why is that?
Because he's passing the buck. The moment people sort of kick a tin down the road, you think, oh, well, they don't know what to do with it, or they're unsure, or they can't be bothered. So it wasn't a straight no. He just passed on the problem back to the British Museum, which you might say they have done for years. But there is a sort of muddle there, which means that the doors weren't firmly shut in Mitsotakis' face. Boris Johnson, ironically, when he was mayor of London, which was his position before this mighty one as prime minister, he did actually say in writing that as a classicist, he thought the marbles ought to be in Greece. But he said, as mayor of London, my loyalty has to be to London, and so I think they've got to stay here. So he's already declared a sort of double-edged sword there, that, you know, one side of him thinks they ought to be back where they should be, and the other side thinks, no, he's got to protect the British Museum. In saying it's not a government problem, I think it clearly is, and I think probably Mitsotakis realizes it is because he brought it up with the Prime Minister at 10 Downing Street. I think probably the government is hidden under the skirts of the trustees of the British Museum for a long time. The trouble is there's a British Museum Act which allows them ownership of all the objects in the British Museum, and they're not allowed to deaccession them. With two points in mind, I think. One is that it's the object in question is useless, which is an odd phrase to use about an art object or a cultural object. And the other one is something about a copy. I think the act itself, not that I'm a lawyer, you understand, but I'm a layman and I can understand enough to know that no act is sacred. It can be unpicked. And that's what's got to happen. But the will has to be there.
A recent UNESCO decision made it clear that this is an intergovernmental issue. Does this give added weight to Greece's case?
Yes, it adds weight to the argument, because I think there's a groundswell outside the walls of the British Museum, which at some point is going to seep under their doorstep. They're resisting it. And I can see why. It's been august and untouchable for so many years. And now I think there's a change in cultural attitude in the world, don't you find? And I think people are more aware of the sensibilities of nations about cultural objects than they used to be. And the era of entitlement, colonialist entitlement, is being shredded slowly. I'm thankful about that. And I think that's what the British Museum is going to have to face quite soon.
Given that trend, do you think the British Museum's position then is simply out of touch or, you know, behind the curve on this?
It looks like it. Both those phrases will do very well. I think it is behind the curve, and maybe it's realizing that and is wondering how to cope. Because when you analyze it, the British Museum is probably the largest universalist museum there is, probably the Met as well. But the fact that the British Empire just took things when it felt like it for an awfully long time from all over the world. Every object in the British Museum is taken from somewhere else. It's just nicked, taken, because they could. I think that strength is ebbing and that entitlement is ebbing, as far as I can see. And also, when you're appointed to be a trustee and when you're appointed to be an official in the hierarchy of the British Museum, I'm sure you have to go through an audition and probably your toenails are pulled out if you don't agree that the Parthenon marbles must stay where they are. So obviously everybody in the British Museum is going to say it's got to be just as it always was. But the intergovernmental thing, I mean, a debate, a proper grown-up debate taking place is what needs to happen. That's intergovernmental. That's not trustees.
Instead of being discouraged by Prime Minister Johnson's initial refusal here, Prime Minister Mitsotakis stressed that he will continue working for the marbles' return and that Greece will focus on winning over the hearts and minds of Britons. Where is public opinion in Britain on this matter?
Very much trending towards being supportive of them going back. The polls that have been taken so far indicating a rise in people thinking, yes, it's time they went back. I think, you know, Britain or England, I'm never sure which, or both, are pretty fair-minded people on the whole, or at least they have that reputation in the world of, you know, wanting a bit of fair play. I don't know if that era is over or not, and that it's as nasty as everybody in the world is, or whether there is that vestige of decency still. And I think that's what Mitsotakis quite properly is appealing to, that there's something decent which needs to happen, and that is the return of these marbles.
Do you think that public opinion can tip the scales in favor of their return ultimately?
Yes, I think public opinion seems to be increasingly important in all matters, because that's what trends on Twitter. I don't do Twitter, but I know the phrase, and that's what people respond to, public opinion. And if Mr. Public is going to support that, and I don't see why it won't happen in time, I'm not sure of the time, but I think the time is decreasing at which the marbles are safely in British Museum hands. I think it's more and more precarious for them in the sense that it's more and more unjustifiable to keep them.
The Guardian columnist and author Simon Jenkins, he recently wrote that ultimately, whether it's Boris Johnson or another leader, the return of the marbles to Greece is only a matter of time then. It seems like you agree with that.
Oh, I do. I think time is the old justice that tries all such offenders, to quote a little bit of Shakespeare. I think time will tell. And I think it's getting shorter and shorter for a justifiable hanging on to these objects. There are other important aspects which we don't always talk about. I had the honour, which it certainly was, of the then president of the Hellenic Republic. This was 3 years ago in Athens at a meeting, of being asked into his study because he wanted to make very clear to me that it's only the Parthenon marbles that Greece is asking for to be returned. They don't want anything else from any other museum in the world. They're not asking back for the winged victory of Samothrace or any other fabulous object. They only want the marbles that Elgin ripped off the Parthenon building. That's what they want back. And they're very specific about that. So the slippery slope argument, which is always brought up by people quite boringly, as if a tsunami of requests will come through for every object in the British Museum, is irrelevant. And so I think Simon Jenkins' comment about it is a matter of time, because it's a narrow and pointed and specific request. It's not for everything from Greece, by any means. In fact, he said quite the reverse. They're very pleased. They're thrilled that people have got bits of ancient Greece in their museums.
So a question that's raised then is, can Boris Johnson be the leader that gets the credit for the return if it's just a matter of time? You know, do you think that he can be moved by public opinion and the arguments that Mitsotakis
well,
even
two
made?
Two things. One is time. I don't know how long Boris has got in the hot seat. But I think the court of public opinion is something that Boris Johnson is very fond of being bolstered by. He wants to be loved. Of course, the return of the Parthenon marbles is not a hugely relevant question for an awful lot of people in the street. But as I say, it is a matter of fair play. And I think if people were asked, you see, what is interesting is that there's absolutely no equivalent in any other country. Britain has a very long and complex history, but it hasn't anything which is equivalent to those sculptures. If you try and think of something of the same era, it turns out to be, you know, Druid stones at Stonehenge. And is that the soul of the nation? If a dolmen from Stonehenge was whisked away by helicopter to the Potsdamer Platz or something like that and put in the middle as a great civic monument, what would the British feel about that as their soul wrenched from the body? I always make an analogy. They're so difficult to find analogies of Rodin's wonderful group of figures called the Burghers of Calais. If you took one of those away as a separate artifact rather than as part of a group, what would the feeling be? Both aesthetically and morally, you would find it's a stupid thing to do. And the same thing pertains here, because they are part of a pedimental group, you know, 50% of which is in Athens and 50% here, and they should be joined together. They just don't make sense apart.
It really is one big piece of art.
It's one big piece of art that was wrenched off a building by Elgin. And that's the other thing about how much ruin he wreaked on the building, which amazingly is still standing. The Athenians can see it from wherever they are in the street cafe having a coffee. They just have to raise their eyes. And there's this astonishing building still standing in the sunlight 2.5 millennia later. So it is very, it's a very unique set of circumstances. I think what is good is that finally the penny has dropped about the Benin bronzes, which many museums have collections of, the British Museum, probably the biggest of all. But that was looted in wartime by soldiers. It was provably looted. I think the thing about our Elgin marbles is the British Museum are a little economical with the truth about the legality of their ownership. There is no proof. There's no archival piece of paper that we have that says that the Sultanate gave absolute permission to Elgin to take these things. So they hide behind a strange piece of paper, which is sometimes called a firman, the word for a letter of permission. But it's incomprehensible, it's long, it's rambling, and it's not signed by a sultan.
Janet, where do you see this moving in the near term?
I don't know about the near term. Maybe this is a long-term thing, but certainly there's a groundswell or a little wave growing stronger as it nears the coast. And I can't guess at a timeline, but something has moved. I get the feeling that something has shifted, and it's very important. It's very important, for instance, that I'm talking to you. I think the more we can discuss this, the better. I'd like it to be kept in the eye of people.
Well, Janet, thank you for joining us and helping us keep this in the eye of everybody.
Yes, do. Thank you very much for talking to me.
It's been great having you on The Greek Current. Thank you.
Okay, thanks a lot.
In other news, Pope Francis returned on Sunday to the Greek island of Lesbos to offer comfort to migrants at a refugee camp. In a speech in front of refugees and migrants, but directed at European political leaders, Francis blasted what he said was the indifference and self-interest shown by Europe. Francis's five-day trip to Cyprus and Greece has been dominated by the migrant issue. On Saturday, in his first speech in Athens, Pope Francis also warned about a retreat of democracy in Europe and the world. Without Athens and without Greece, Europe and the world would not be what they are today, he added, while warning against the easy answers of populism. While in Athens, he also met with Prime Minister Mitsotakis and Archbishop Hieronymus. Finally, Prime Minister Kyriakos Mitsotakis spoke with U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken on Monday, where they reviewed the strength of the U.S.-Greece bilateral relationship. They also discussed the importance of strengthening investments between the United States and Greece and efforts to promote peace and prosperity in the Eastern Mediterranean and Western Balkans. Mitsotakis and Blinken also talked about the importance of solidarity in promoting stability in Europe, including support for Ukraine's sovereignty and territorial integrity in the face of Russia's aggression. The call came ahead of a trilateral meeting Mitsotakis will participate in with his Cypriot and Israeli counterparts, and his meeting with Russian President Vladimir Putin this week. That wraps up today's episode of The Greek Current. Thanks for tuning in.